In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. King Nebuchadnezzar, the terrorizing tyrant of Babylon, was dead. This was the great king that had led the troops against Jerusalem, surrounded the city, destroyed it, and burned the temple of God to the ground. He had reigned for about 25 more years after he had pulled the exiles out of Israel's land and started to assimilate them into Babylonian culture. Daniel and his friends were part of this group, and they had been resisting, fighting against Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar was arrogant, pompous, believing that he ruled the world at every turn, and that his empire was the greatest that would ever be, and that it would stand forever. Nebuchadnezzar was dead. Daniel, our friend who's been living in exile for 25 years, had a dream. In this dream, after he woke up, Daniel was terrified, deeply disturbed by what he saw. Daniel's dream was this. On one side, Daniel saw God's beautiful creation. God's beautiful creation that he created at the beginning of Genesis, pulled out of the chaos. The beautiful mountains and trees and landscapes. The creatures and animals and everything that God had created, this beautiful world. But on the other side, Daniel still saw the chaos. The sea of the chaos that the creation had been pulled out of. And Daniel saw something arise out of the chaos. He saw four grotesque beasts. Beasts that kind of looked human, but weren't. Beasts that kind of looked like God's creatures, but weren't. Vicious beasts that arose out of the chaos and entered into God's beautiful world and started to destroy it. These beasts were eating everything they could find in God's world, and everything they couldn't fit into their mouths, they were trampling underfoot. God's beautiful world, Daniel was witnessing, was being destroyed by these four grotesque beasts. Daniel saw that these four beasts that pretended to be human were the empires of civilization. Human-made empires that humans thought they could run and control God's world with. Human empires were running rampant, destroying the beautiful world that God had created. And not only God's beautiful world, the last remnant of faithful people, the ones who still trusted in God and not in the empires of civilization, these faithful people, Daniel saw, were getting beat up, persecuted, suffering, and destroyed. Daniel's heart was breaking as he saw God's beautiful world and his faithful people in the clutches of the beasts, the empires of the world. It was a madhouse. Everything was falling apart. God's beautiful world was on the brink of death. In the midst of the destruction, Daniel then saw the Creator himself enter the scene. And the Creator set up a courtroom. And he sat on his great and mighty throne to judge the world, to set things right, to sort through who was in the right, who was in the wrong in this whole crazy drama of human history that was unfolding. And as the Creator sat on his throne of judgment, the first thing that happened was that the greatest empire and civilization that man had ever seen was destroyed and thrown into the fire of everlasting destruction. Daniel was thrilled. But then something happened that spooked him. The rest of the empires of humanity were not destroyed. They were left to run rampant. They were put in check under God's authority, but they were still in the world, destroying God's creation and destroying his faithful people. But then Daniel was uplifted again. If he looked on the horizon and what he saw coming on the clouds, a truly human one, not a grotesque beast, partially human, having rejected its humanity like the empires of civilization. No, this was a truly human one. God had lifted this human one onto the clouds. Out of the destruction of the empires of civilization. And God brought this human one into the courtroom. And there God made his final verdict. It is the human one, the faithful people and saints of God, that will be judged to be right. The human ones who faithfully obey the Creator and walk in faith with him will be given the kingdom of God. The creation will be restored. The creation will be given to this human one. And they will reign forever. And even though the beasts of the empires of civilization will defeat them and ravage them and try to destroy them, they will rise on the clouds, untouchable. They will be victorious because God has judged in the middle of history, and his faithful people will never be defeated. And Daniel woke up. He was disturbed. We're told he was depressed, terrified by this dream. Its implications were huge. Nebuchadnezzar, the great tyrant of Babylon, had just died. Daniel might have been thinking, with Nebuchadnezzar dead, it's finally over. The persecution and suffering of God's faithful people will finally come to an end. The great tyrant is dead. That's not what this dream told Daniel. This dream told Daniel, yes, Nebuchadnezzar is dead and he's defeated. And yes, God has already judged. Judgment Day has already come in the middle of history. God has judged, and his faithful remnant, his faithful people, are in the right. They are the victorious ones. But what disturbed Daniel was this, that despite God saying his faithful people were in the right, and that they were victorious, and that they were already lifted up on the clouds, out of the chaos, his dream told him that the empires, the beasts of the nations, weren't going away anytime soon. That God put them in check. But they're still destroying, eating up God's beautiful world and his faithful people. Daniel was disturbed because the vision of victory wasn't what he wanted or anticipated, what any of his fellow Israelites had hoped for. They wanted God to step in with a heavy hand and just wipe out all of human civilization like he had done at the flood. But that wasn't what God was going to do. He was going to step in with a gentle hand and lift up his faithful people and promise them victory. his faithful people were going to continue to be beat up. They were going to suffer. They were going to be persecuted and chased all over the world. They were going to even be put to death for standing faithful to God. Because for some reason, in God's mysterious wisdom, he wanted to let the beasts continue to run rampant. But promising certain victory to his people. It was a beautiful vision. It was a happy vision in some sense. But it was a vision that told Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar is dead. But Daniel, there's much more suffering still to come. Daniel, the victory is assured to you. But that doesn't mean everything's going to go easy in life. The beasts are still out there, destroying God's world, destroying his faithful people. But don't worry. The verdict is in. Their end will come. This vision, this dream of Daniel's, arguably, is the most central vision and dream that drove the ministry of Jesus. Everything that Jesus of Nazareth did and lived centered around believing in the reality of this dream. Jesus, at his very core, as he went into Galilee and all of Israel preaching that God's kingdom had come, that God's verdict was here. Jesus still said those sobering words that confused his crowds. But take up your cross. The human one, the faithful community, is going to be rejected. They're going to suffer. They're going to be killed at the hands of the nations and the empires and beasts of the world. But God will raise them from the dead. So take up your cross, Jesus said, because we are victorious. God's kingdom has come, but there's still much suffering ahead. The cross still lies before us, for it is in defeat. It is in weakness. It is in brokenness. It's at the bottom of the world, the beasts and empires of the world trample us under their feet, that we find victory. That was Jesus' assurance, his certainty. And he preached it. And he lived it with every single breath. And as he died on the cross, his followers were confused, lost. How could the cross be victory? Daniel's vision, his dream, Jesus would say to them. Do you not remember? Victory has been assured, but that doesn't mean the cross is taken away from us. Victory comes through being trampled, defeated, eaten up, and spit out by the empires, the nations of the world. He looked like a failure. He looked trampled and defeated in death. But 3 days later, 40 days later, lifted up on the clouds, ascending into the right hand of the Father, victorious. He did not escape suffering. His victory was found through the suffering, through the loss, through the death. God was victorious. He had won the day. A disturbing vision, Jesus' vision. A vision of victory. A vision of God's ultimate authority over his creation. But so disturbing because Jesus does not take the cross away from us. He puts it in front of us. Come be defeated, he says. Come lay down your lives. The nations, can you see it in the news? The nations are out there. They're running around. Beasts, the grotesque distortion of humanity, their arrogant words and claims, their violence. Just look around you. They are running rampant. And the assurance that Jesus gives us is that the verdict is already in. Those arrogant beasts who are running their mouths in the world, the verdict's in. They're done. Game over. But in God's mysterious wisdom, he wants them to run themselves into the ground. And so for us, as we stand faithful with God, it's not going to be easy. They're going to come after us every day. They're going to try to seduce us into living their way, their violent, greedy, selfish ways. And we are called to stand firm. The little gathered faithful band with Jesus, saying there's a better way. Oh, beasts of the world, we're not going to play your games. We don't have to take up the sword of violence, the sword of our nasty words. We can stand gentle and loving, remembering that the victory is ours. If they kill us, that's okay. God raises the dead. We will be lifted up victorious. And in fact, suffering, weakness, and brokenness is the path that leads to victory. It's a disturbing vision, but it's the truth of our world. May we have the courage this Christmas season to follow Jesus, whose beautiful manger birth leads to a dark cross, but who is lifted up out of the tomb and comes on the clouds victorious, even though the nations of the world still rage all around him and us. God has won. The victory is ours through the cross. Amen.